is the real coal story? The war of words continues. Is there a coal shortage in the country? How has the NDA government in its two terms dealt with all the crises which the sector faced, right from coal block auctions? Here is a detailed conversation I, Richa Mishra, had for NDA 10-year series with former coal secretary Anil Swarup. Sir, thank you so much for sparing this time with us and our listeners. So you were coal secretary at a time when everything and anything that could be imagined was going wrong and you had to correct it. I mean, the entire system and mechanism which we talk about, you may not acknowledge it, but you played a big role in setting up the process and cleaning up the system. If I would say baptism by fire. So it literally happened for you in coal. So I'll come to my first question immediately. We are trying to study how the two terms of NDA has dealt with this very important sector. So how do you think the first and second term of NDA, as far as this very important component of energy space, has been dealt with? And if I may ask, if you want to give it a 1 to 5 positioning as to how the sector has progressed, what would your ranking be?
See, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me here. I can talk about the sector when I was there.
Yes.
After I left, say, in 2016, November, it is all hearsay. So right. It would be appropriate of me not to comment on what I heard, read.
Absolutely.
The news have come. So I can tell you what happened between 2014 and 2016, because as you rightly said, it was crisis in the real sense of the term. Anything that could have gone wrong had gone wrong with the coal sector. What was perceived to have gone wrong were these scams. It was felt that because of these scams, country was facing huge crisis. There was shortage of coal. I looked at it very intensely. And I discovered that scams were not a problem. In fact, they were a consequence. So I tried to understand why did scams happen. In fact, scams did not create shortages. It was shortages that created scams. India sat on 300 billion tons of coal and our requirement was less than a billion ton per annum. Yet we were in serious trouble. So initially, my job was to see how we can take care of the judgment of the Supreme Court, because what judgment of Supreme Court had done was, it was to stop mining from 31st of March 2015 in about 90 odd mines. It did cancel 204 mines, of which these 90 were actually producing coal. And they were producing substantial amount of coal. And that coal had to come from somewhere, because in any case, there was shortage. And if this mining was to stop. So initial effort was to see how to sustain coal production for such mines, which were producing coal, but had to be closed on account of Supreme Court. That was one.
Right.
Emanating out of this first problem was the second problem. How do you go about continuing production of coal after 1st of April 2015? Because Supreme Court had allowed production only till that time. So we tried to work out an auction process. And that is something which you partly correctly said. I may take some credit for it. We worked out a system of auctioning of coal box. But that, to my mind, is not the coal story. The coal story is about increasing coal production.
Absolutely.
Which had nothing to do with either the CAG report or the Supreme Court. Of course, it created a panic, a situation where we were pushed into improving coal production. But directly, there was no impact of... If anything, impact of Supreme Court decision was reduction of coal production. So the real story, as I said, was increasing coal production. And that's when I tried to understand that the cause of scams were, or cause of the scam was, a shortage in coal production. So the next question which I attempt to address was, how do I improve coal production? And that took through the next step, that coal production was a function of land, was a function of environment and forest clearance, was a function of evacuation, because most of this coal existed in inaccessible area. You had to build those railway lines. So we started working on all these three. And again, to cut a long story short, I can explain what happened on each of these segments. But what happened was, since we were able to address these three major aspects, we could get substantial amount of land, we could get a lot of environment forest clearance. And we did manage to get going with railways to get some more rakes. Railways lines started getting constructed. Major lines were coming up. As a consequence of which, from an acute crisis in 2014, we had an increase in coal production. If I remember the quantity correctly, we increased by 34 million tons.
Yes, sir.
Quite a lot. And in 15-16, on that base, we increased another 44 million tons. Consequent to which, as against about 24 to 25 power plants, which were in critical situation in 2014, in 2016, there was not a single power plant which was in critical situation. And we were even toying with the idea of exporting coal to Bangladesh.
Absolutely, sir. You explained it very well. You are a blue-blooded civil servant when you said you wouldn't like to comment on the period from after which you exited. But let me just tell you that the situation is where it was since you exited. And why I want to refresh it is that you started talking about clean technology, clean coal. I mean, there was a lot of focus at your end on cleaning up the system and clean technology while increasing production. So the entire process making, what were the challenges which were there then? Because many of them still remain.
Let me comment on some information that I have post-2016.
Right.
Because to my knowledge, in 2018, 19 and 20, the coal production stagnated.
Correct.
Coal India Limited production stagnated. And I examined that. Why did it happen?
Yes.
And I came to the following conclusions.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Coal India, which was thriving on account of an outstanding work being done by Sutirth Bhattacharya and his team, the chairman of Coal India, when he left Coal India, I think he left in 2017, thereafter, there was no regular chairman of Coal India for full 1 year. Now, how do you run an organization like Coal India Maharatna without a regular chairman? That is one. Number two, we had worked out very detailed, elaborate action plan mine-wise on how to increase production. Each mine-wise, I had personally gone down to a number of mines, spoken to mine manager, and the plan was in position. But any plan, more so in excavation of coal, requires money. Now, we had that money. Coal India was sitting on more than 30,000 crores of cash reserves when I left Coal India. This money was to be used for increasing coal production, improving the existing mines, adding new mines. But what actually happened was most of the money was taken away by the government by way of dividend to balance its budget. So money wasn't available. So first of all, there was no chairman. Secondly, the money that was supposed to have been used for expansion of coal production could not be used because that money was taken away by the way of dividend and other instruments. Third, and a very hilarious sort of a reason, which was actually a reason because I was party to what was going on, India had what was rightly called a Swachhata Abhiyan, which was very good, a good program. But in a meeting held at the level of cabinet secretary, he said that the managers of Coal India will go to schools and find places where toilets could be dug. So I protested. I said the job of Coal India is not to dig shitholes, but to produce coal. So and since we have this massive expansion plan, we will give you money. I had nothing against giving money for these toilets, but he insisted that I was overruled. And these guys who were supposed to work on these plans were then engaged in digging shitholes. So I gave this, you know, hilarious tagline to this chapter, which I said, Coal India produces coal. No. Coal India digs shitholes, but it also produces coal.
Oh,
so the problem was that, and the cabinet secretary told me, I remember his words, Anil, you have so much coal, you don't know what to do with coal. I said, sir, I'm not talking of coal now. These plans are for 3-4 years down the line because coal production takes time. I was overruled. So consequent to these and some other decisions, the Coal India production went down. Though I am now informed that the production has picked up.
Yes.
So, but I'm just, as I said, most of it is hearsay, so I'd not like to comment. Absolutely. Now, coming to the question of cleanliness of coal or cleaning coal. Now, as luck would have it, I think it was 2016 when COP20 happened in Paris. And I was also supposed to go to COP20. But I didn't go there because I was not insured. I knew that I would be killed as coal secretary in an environment conference if I went there and spoke about coal, because at that point in time, we had started producing record amount of coal. So they were all against me. But as luck would have it, the whole teams of BBC, ABC, all channels came to India chasing me to get my comments on the environment degradation that I was causing, right? So they came and asked me. They asked me, why are you increasing coal production when the whole world is trying to reduce coal production? Okay, so I told them, are you aware that the per capita consumption of energy in India at that point in time, that is 2016, was equivalent to the per capita consumption of coal by the US in late 19th and early 20th century? Right. So I asked them a counter question. I asked them, do you want us to remain in the dark age or would you want to consume? No, no, sir, you should increase. We should have more energy. Then I asked the next question. I asked them, how do I increase this? He said, they said, go for alternative energy. I said, India has the most ambitious alternative energy, that is renewable energy program. But let me tell you very frankly, that is not going to suffice for our energy needs. Then I gave them the numbers, the 1 gigawatt target that we had for solar energy, the problems that we are facing with solar energy. So I told them, I explained to them at length that it may not be possible to reduce coal production. In fact, we'll have to increase coal production to meet our energy needs. However, I told him, however, we are very aware of the necessity of keeping the environment clean. Whereas it is our essential necessity to have energy and therefore coal, we are equally conscious of. And I explained to them how we are doing it. I told them that we are monitoring through satellite about the reforestation of land that has to be done as a consequence of mining. And I explained to them that for every hectare of land, we were foresting more than 2 hectares of land. And that is being monitored through satellite. I gave them example data, pictures. I said, we may have committed a few mistakes here and there. But fact of the matter is that the country is very aware of the environmental damage that coal causes. But it's like saying that, what is the alternative if I don't use coal? Should I cut trees? Will that be environment friendly? I told them, you must also understand the limitations of solar energy, that solar energy becomes available in India at a time when we don't require energy. Right. At the peak time, we don't have that. So the problem is of storage of energy.
Yes.
I told them, why doesn't the Western world help us clean coal rather than throwing coal out? So all that technology that exists in the Western world appears to be so expensive and so unviable that Western countries should pitch in and help us adopt the technology. After whatever I spoke, I think they quieted down a bit and they understood the dilemma that we faced, that without coal, we would not exist. Without coal, we would not develop. And I was very blunt with them. I told them, unlike somebody else who may have said that we will cut down on coal production, we'll reduce our dependence on coal, I said, go to hell. 20 years, we're going to use this coal.
You put it in a proper perspective for us. My next question was that this constant war which we hear, power versus coal ministry, supply versus demand side, we have sufficient coal. It is at the pits. It was the transportation which was a challenge from mine to the plant kind of situation where railways and others came into the picture. And for over a decade that I have been riding on coal, I've been writing every summer the same story. So why even today this narrative has not changed?
Okay, let me explain this to you. And this also has a very interesting background. As coal secretary, the first meeting with the PM happened within a few days of my job. And in that meeting, the power secretary made a presentation. And in the 6 slides that he presented before PM, in all those slides, he blamed coal for the crisis in power sector. Mind you, the crisis in coal and power was both there. And not many have examined why did we overcome and how did we overcome coal crisis, but the power crisis remained where it was. I'll tell you the reason. The reason was very simple. And let me mention a couplet here just to illustrate what was happening in the power sector. Umr bhar yahi bhool karta raha ghalib, dhool chehre pe thi aaina malta raha. You know, power sector was finding problems elsewhere in order to finding solution. So the prime minister turned toward me after the presentation of power secretary and said, Anil ji, aapne dekha, aap coal ki samasya ka samadhan kar dijiye, desh ki aarthik sthiti sudhar jayegi. I said that in Hindi because these are exactly the words that the prime minister said. Now, this was my first meeting with the PM. How do I respond? I said, sir, main aapse sehmat hu, I agree with you. But sir, पावर की केवल एक समस्या कोल नहीं है, पावर की कई और समस्याएं हैं सर, आपने गुजरात में किया है, पावर को कॉम्प्रिहेंसिवली देखना पड़ेगा। ही इमीडिएटली एग्रीड विद मी, ही सेज अनिल जी आप सही कह रहे हैं, एंड देन ही टर्न टुवर्ड्स पीयूष गोयल एंड टोल्ड हिम अनिल जी सही कह रहे हैं, पावर सेक्टर को कॉम्प्रिहेंसिवली देखना होगा। ओके, नाउ हाउ डिड पावर सेक्टर सी इट कॉम्प्रिहेंसिवली? दे सॉ इट, दे सॉ इट थ्रू उदय। नाउ उदय वाज अ फैंटास्टिक स्कीम, द ट्रेजेडी वाज इट वाज लाइक इन मेनी अदर गवर्नमेंट स्कीम्स, इट वाज जस्ट अ स्कीम, it was not implemented in letter and spirit. In fact, in another meeting, I told the PM, sir, इसमें आपको कुछ नहीं करना है, जो आपने गुजरात में किया है वही राजस्थान में करना है। ये राजस्थान की टीम वहां जाके क्यों नहीं सीखती उनसे? You know, believe me, people ask me, how did you make coal happen? I said, if I have to give one answer, I'll say, I did not convene a single meeting in Delhi with the state governments for coal production. Every meeting was held in the state government. And I am on record in writing to Mr. Piyush Goyal that the discussions relating to power should not take place in Delhi. Why shouldn't teams of Rajasthan go to Gujarat? Why shouldn't teams of Madhya Pradesh go to Chhattisgarh? Because Chhattisgarh is trying to implement Uday. So instead of focusing on implementation of a fantastic idea called Uday, they were all busy blaming coal, and they continue to do now. I still say that coal could be a problem, but it is not the problem of power sector. Power sector has huge other problems. People talk of Gujarat model. Day before yesterday, I was in Gujarat. I would not mention about other models of Gujarat. I have my own views. But certainly power sector Gujarat model needed to be replicated. Unfortunately, it was not done. Had it been done in letter and spirit, we would not have continued with the crisis that we have in the power sector, for the simple reason that even today, if you go to states like UP, states like MP, I think the feeder separation, the setting up of smart meters, clear assessment of losses where it is happening, cutting down on losses, this is not happening in most of the states. There have been some marginal improvements here and there because of Uday. But Uday, had it been written or had been implemented in letter and spirit, I think we would not have problems. And the lessons can be learned from coal, where the meticulous detail in which we went to finding solutions to each problem, that could have been done while engaging intensively with the state governments, not in Delhi, but at the state headquarters regularly. This was not done.
So, sir, what is the way forward then?
Way forward is, again, go back. Sit with the state government. See, now it's even more difficult because there is an apparent war between the center and the state.
Yes, yes.
I mean, at that point in time, I had the privilege of having Mr. Arun Jaitley. He was a classic man who took states on board. He spoke to the state governments. You know, the amount of, I mean, I do get some credit for coal, whatever I did in coal, but I think a lot of credit goes to late Arun Jaitley, who actually engaged with chief ministers. And he was not even my minister. He was finance minister, but he helped me engage with the ministers. Now, what is happening today? The communication has been totally stopped. You know, they are at war. So center fires a salvo, this state government. I mean, look at what is happening in Tamil Nadu and West Bengal. Now they are lodging FIR against officers of NIA, of ED. What is this going on? Will this help administration? And you can't have power sector reforms without taking state into confidence. Now, how do you do that? You can't do that by adopting a big boss attitude that I am the boss, you better listen to me. It doesn't work that way. You have to work as partners. Unfortunately, and I'm on record having said that, we are not following that partnership spirit. I mean, we have to be sagacious enough to sit down with the state governments, discuss with them, and very importantly, convey a value proposition. You know, people used to ask me, how do you manage to convey these people? Let me give you an example of how I did it with regard to West Bengal. Even then, Mamata Didi was firing salvo at the central government. But what did I do? I prepared a piece of paper, just one sheet, in which I calculated how much West Bengal is losing by not giving me land for coal mining for coal. Okay. And then when I went over and met the chief secretary of West Bengal. He was junior to me, but I went over and met him. Handed over this piece of paper. I told him, let the politicians fight. You must convince the chief minister. It is a loss to the nation. It is a loss to the state. And this is the piece of paper. I could have written a letter to you. 6 years down the line, CAG would have quoted that paper and said, this was the notional loss, as CAG was very happy to say that for that. I said, let's stop that nonsense of CAG politics. You go and convince the chief minister. Let politics be politics, but this is a loss to the state. I don't know what he told Mamata Banerjee. I got land for 7 blocks. So it's a question of how do you approach them? I used to ask this question then, how many times has Secretary Power gone and met the chief minister and which all states? No one answered this question. These secretaries were awarded, rewarded, elevated, re-elevated. They found all positions, but power sector remained where it was.
This leads to another question. I mean, what you just said, and you know, I just can't let you go without asking this now. Do you think a system or a mechanism like a GST body, a body like GST, where you know everyone is on board and a consensus building is happening, given the fact that electricity is a state subject too, do you think having a body like that would work for the betterment of this whole sector? Coal and power war will also go.
Richa, no system will change attitudes. The problem is of system. I agree with you, we should have system. But if we have attitude of war, then no system will work. I mean, look at the institutions, the way they are being used. If those institutions are institutions to push somebody, then why would that person willingly participate? I mean, if somebody is doing wrong, please go and hang them. But the point is, you have to adopt an approach of partnership. Right. I think the country is standing to lose. I mean, we have difference of opinion. In a democracy, there would be difference of opinion. But do it the way Arun Jaitley did it. I wish Arun Jaitley had engaged in power sector also. He would have taught a few people of sitting down and talking. We can't keep fighting. We are fighting. I can assure you, no matter what institution you put in place, if there is suspicions about such institutions, who was going to come to negotiate? The attitude needs to change. The problem, I tell you, in governance is attitude, nothing else. If the attitude changes, it will work.
So, but then you brought that change in attitude very well when you started the bidding mechanism. That reverse bidding concept into the whole
thing. Richa, I was very fortunate. As I said, I was fortunate to have an amazing team of officers with me. I was fortunate to have Mr. Arun Jaitley around me. But for these happenings, coal would not have happened. As I keep saying, I may walk away with the credit, but the credit goes to an absolutely amazing team that I had, who worked day in and out with a very positive approach. You know, these officers went to the state governments and sat with them, apart from me going. Then a person like Arun Jaitley, who despite being finance minister, he spared so much time to interact. I distinctly remember one day I was going to Gurgaon on a Sunday, on a holiday. I thought it was a holiday. I get a call that Arun Jaitley wants to meet me at his residence. So I cut that down, came back and went to his residence. You know, who do I see? He was sitting with Mr. Naveen Patnaik. And then he tells me, Anil ji, zara Mukhyamantri ji ko bataiye ki aap coal block auction se state ko kaise laabh hoga. No. He created that. So then I explained to him, I showed him my phone, how actual auctions are happening, how transparent it is, how the states are going to benefit through auctions, not the central government. And he got convinced. He supported the bill in the parliament.
Yes, yes.
It is amazing. See, it's amazing, amazing. I can't tell you what team I had, what support I got from Mr. Arun Jaitley, and that's what happened. So, generally speaking, the government seems to be missing the sagacity of Arun Jaitley. And of course, they have to, people who have to think that state governments are partners.
So basically, it is the communication channels which have to be kept open.
Absolutely.
And if we have a fuel in abundance, why not use it? Use technology. Absolutely. To better it and bring it forth.
See, Richa, I am a diehard optimist.
Right, sir.
I am certain that this problem can be sorted out. I have absolutely no doubt. Even then, I had that. I'm on record. In fact, I have those notes with me. I used to keep writing to Mr. Piyush Goyal, who was our minister, that do this. You have an example in coal sector. Follow exactly the same approach.
So, sir, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much for sparing this time with us.
Great. Bye-bye.